Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. This is Every Day with Jesus podcast, where our lives have been transformed by the preaching of the word of God. Amen. So you're welcome to another episode. And we are in the series titled Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church. This is part 21. And I've been emphasizing the fact that God is pro-leadership. God has always advanced his cause and his will on the face of the earth, his plan, true leadership. Praise God. And then, so now, right now, away from the Old Testament, away from many things that I've said in the Old Testament, you know, those things were not even really part and parcel of local church setting. You get what I'm saying? I mean, those examples that we cited going into the Old Testament, I did all that to show us how that there's a consistency in how God operates. Amen. There's a consistency in how God operates, which dates way back to the Old Testament, in the which God will use men. Praise God. God has always used men, and God will use men to advance his cause and purpose on the face of the earth. Before the end of this series, we might still go back to the Old Testament and see some of these things more clearly and vividly. Praise God. So, but today, let me dwell more on leadership in the New Testament. The idea of the local church is leadership. Amen. The leadership of God through men. That's the idea of the local church. Remove leadership and there's nothing like a local assembly. Glory to God. Because a local church is a place where men are meant to be taught, men are meant to be discipled. So the idea of the local church is about leadership. And leadership is for discipleship. Praise God. If you attend a local church where there's nobody responsible for training and for people's spiritual growth and for, discipling men, then that's not a local church. Glory to God. Say, so we just come together. You know, every time we just come together, we just come to talk the word. Everybody's just contributing. Everybody, you know, we just flow in that place. That's not a local church. That is every other thing apart from a local church. It could be a gathering of you and your friends. It could be a club, a Jesus club, or a Bible club. Do you get? A local church has leadership. Praise God. There's an elder. There are elders set over the assembly. Elders and bishops, leaders, men who are, is not saddled with the responsibility of training the people. Men that Jesus will hold accountable for the affair of the church. Men that Jesus will hold accountable for the welfare of the church. Glory to God. Leadership. This is very key. Amen. We saw at Acts of in the book of Acts of Apostles, we saw how that they ordained elders in every city. Glory to God. That's the idea of a local church. Ordination of elders in every city was very key. Acts of Apostles 14:19-23. Look at it again. So, leadership is the essence of the local church, and leadership is for discipleship. Don't forget this. When you say you have a spiritual leader over you, what you are saying is that you are following as a disciple. You are learning and growing, and you are yielding to training as a disciple of Christ. Amen. Acts of Apostles, chapter 14, and verse 19-23. Glory to God. Acts 14, 19-23. Reading from Acts 14:19-23. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there and stoned. Okay, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they appointed elders in every church. Bible says in verse 21, they had made many disciples. Glory to God. Many disciples. So over those disciples, they appointed elders. Hallelujah. And Bible says in every church. So there were lots of local churches with elders overseeing those local assemblies. Glory to God. For what purpose? Discipleship. Leadership in the New Testament is for discipleship. It's not a title you just wear as a ceremonial head. It's not just for, you know, feeling cool or feeling fly. You're a pastor. No, it's not a ceremonial title. Your job title is, or your title rather, is for the work of ministry. Your job description is for the training and the equipping of the saints. It's for discipleship. That's your job description as a pastor. That's the job description of every elder and bishop and leader in the body of Christ, to train men for Christ. Glory to God. And I know that there's this piece of the Bible, or this portion of the Bible, that is often misinterpreted. 1 Corinthians 14:26. People say, well, we don't need a local church where you have one man or two people or three people who are, you know, calling the shots, leading and directing the affairs of the church and training, and then they are the ones always teaching. I mean, can't we just rotate the teaching? Everybody should be teaching. And, you know, it's always a funny, very funny argument when you hear that on social media, particularly on social media. People say, we are tired. One man or two, just two people, they are the only ones teaching. What is that? We all should be teaching. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, everyone has a psalm. Everyone has a teaching. Everyone has this and that. See, that was written to a church that had pastors and leaders. That was written to a church where everybody was not responsible for doctrine. That was a church that was saying, you know, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas, I'm for... They are teachers. Glory to God. So 1 Corinthians 14:26 is not saying that is how church will always operate. And anytime you come into an assembly, yeah, you know, everybody is giving a word. Everybody is giving prophecy. No! There's definitely a time for, you know, allowing the flow of the Spirit. Everybody is giving an interpretation of tongues, or giving a tongue, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But there's the place of men settling down to be taught the word of God. Training. Hallelujah. This is very key. And that is the essence of leadership. Discipleship. Praise God. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Look at this again. Discipleship. I believe strongly that the concept of discipleship has been gradually eroded in the body of Christ. Or let me say, it's been constantly and gradually eroded in the body of Christ. The idea of discipleship. And listen, this idea of leadership that I've been talking about, which I, you know, I've also said is for discipleship, is deeply rooted in the commission or the mandate that Jesus gave to the apostles. Amen. Discipleship. Listen, if the church, if many believers see themselves as disciples, a lot of things will change. Glory to God. A lot of things will change. The way you see yourself, the activities you are expecting in the local church, what you expect your pastor to focus on, everything will just change the moment you assume that identity of being a disciple. Praise God. Now, my brother used to say something years back, Pastor Toby Adebayo, used to say something that makes sense. He would say, you know, the idea of just being called Christians, it makes the whole thing very light-handed and vague. Well, I'm just a Christian. And then, what is that being a Christian? Praise God. Because the truth is, it's really like a vague concept today. I'm just a Christian. And, you know, in Bible days, people were not called Christians until Acts 11. Hallelujah. There was something they were called regularly, which I believe kept them on their toes, and it brought focus and it gave them clarity. They knew what to expect in the church. They knew why they were gathering together as believers. They knew why their pastors were to be referred to as teachers. Glory to God. You know, you see a pastor assume responsibility over saints today and comes to the pulpit and says, you know, me, I'm not a teacher. I'm just a pastor. What are you saying, sir? In those days, pastors were teachers. Glory to God. You had no business being a pastor, a shepherd, if you were not to be given to teaching. Amen. We saw in the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we saw in the book of Titus, a major qualification for bishops and elders was that they should be apt to teach. They should be able to teach. There's nothing like I'm a pastor, but you know I'm not a teacher. Some people are graced for teaching. Then you should step down from this position of being a pastor, because the job description of a pastor is that of teaching. Glory to God. Matthew 28. Look at this now. I'll say it again. When a lot of believers see themselves as disciples, it will change many things. Hallelujah. I would to God that the church will return to that point where we refer to people as disciples. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe," teaching them, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Are you aware that Jesus is giving an instruction to men to make disciples of men after he himself had made disciples of those men? Praise God. So you see, the original recipient of this instruction understood what Jesus meant by saying, "Go and make disciples." To them, it was simply, "Go and replicate what I have done with you guys." Because Jesus taught them as disciples. He referred to them as disciples. They constantly saw themselves as disciples. Glory to God. So "go and make disciples" was simple. They understood what it meant. "Go and replicate what I have done with you." Glory to God. The pattern of training, the pattern of discipline, the model of teaching, the model of ministry, go and replicate the same in the lives of men. They understood it. Glory to God. And that's why in the book of Acts, that was the identity of believers. Hallelujah. That was the tag. That was the description. A dominant or predominant description of those who had come to faith in Christ. Disciples. And then you find that the apostles knew what they were meant to be doing. They were not busy with many things. Glory to God. I mean, something as important as taking care of people and getting men fed, widows, you know, the less privileged. You know, Peter would say, "See, it is not good that we leave the word of God and be serving tables." Come on. We can't leave God's word and be serving tables. See, look for men among yourselves. Deacons. And then they gave themselves continually. He says, "And we'll give ourselves continually to prayers and to the ministry of the word." Their job was well cut out for them. Go and make disciples. Hallelujah. So at Acts chapter 2 verse 42, Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly." Let's see that portion of scripture, because verse 41 is also very key. Acts of Apostles 2. Look at verse 41. They understood their assignment. They understood their task. Glory to God. Unfortunately, the average pastor today has an identity crisis. And pardon my description, because I'm going to explain it. He has an identity crisis because he doesn't know what he's meant to be doing. He's been tossed to and fro by societal demands, societal pressures. Glory to God. Pastors are not contributing anything to the society. Look at what are they doing? How can a pastor be watching the government misbehaving? You know, what are these pastors meant to be doing? They expect pastors to be protesting and speaking to government, speaking to those in power, and challenging whatever is happening in the nation. When there's a problem in the land, they expect pastors to speak up. Do you get what I'm saying now? Amen. And the man is pressured. He's not busy training the saints. He is pressured to answer everything that is going on in the world. He must have a response to every societal problem. Hallelujah. The road is bad. He must come up with his church to say, "Let's fix this road." The society expects him to come and fix the road. They expect him to send money to the government. He is not the one collecting tax, but they expect him to support the government and fix roads. And build water, build wells, water tanks, and all those things, water supply for the community. They expect him to fix the drainage. They expect, do you know, a whole lot of expectation and a lot of pastors, because they have identity crisis, they do not realize that their ministry is to the body of Christ. To train and to teach and to equip the saints. They bend to all those societal pressures and demands. They subject themselves to unnecessary burdens. Glory to God. Also in the church, the pastor is faced with all manner of pressures and burdens. Members are demanding from him things he is not meant to dabble into at all. Glory to God. The pastor has become a multi-purpose man. He must be the one fixing everything. Everything. He must have an answer to everything wrong in the family, wrong in the society. No. His job is well cut out for him. While a pastor can give counsel to people on diverse matters as the need arises, his major and primary assignment is to teach the saints, make disciples, raise men, build men to be followers of Jesus. Glory to God. So the apostles understood this. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts 2:41 to 42. Bible says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. These were the folks that received the sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost. About 3,000 souls were brought to Christ. And then verse 42, and they continued, those souls, those 3,000 guys, plus the other disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Praise God. The moment they were saved, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, teaching. Hallelujah. And in the book of Acts, you see a constant description, consistently describing the believers as disciples. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Now in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples. So they were multitudes. Amen. There was a crowd. You know, these days people will say, in the church, we can have crowd. It doesn't mean they have to be disciples. People come for different reasons. Let's not overwhelm everybody with, bodies of discipleship. There are many more people that are just there to have their needs met. That was not the early church. The multitudes in the early church were disciples. They summoned the multitudes of the disciples. Guess where the multitudes that were not believers, guess where they were in the early church? They were outside the church. Today, it's a different model entirely. You can have people who are not born again, being members of the church for many years without being born again. Because our emphasis, the things we teach, the way people see themselves as Christians, does not in any way, condition them to submit to rigorous training and teaching. To submit to teaching as the core of discipleship. Glory to God. They summon the multitudes of the disciples, because everybody in the church, if you don't forget Acts 2, 42, or 41 rather, they were added to the church, about 3,000 souls were added to the church. Praise God. It was not that the apostles used gimmicks to get people to church and they were now struggling to cope with them. No, those that were added to the church were those who received the word. And that was how disciples kept increasing. So chapter 6 of verse 1 of chapter 6 says the disciples were multiplying. So it was those who multiplied, eventually they kept multiplying, and then they became a multitude of disciples. So the multitude in the early church were all disciples. Amen. And I'm saying to you, the reason why the apostles kept referring to them as disciples was because that was exactly what Jesus told them. Go into the world and make disciples. Their job was well cut out for them. That was what they were meant to do. Make disciples. So they couldn't go about the work by being frivolous and trying to entertain people and trying to amuse people, or, you know, just attract people by all means. You know, there was no obsession for getting the crowd at all cost. No. Praise God. If there was going to be a crowd, it was going to come by the preaching of the word of God. So mightily grew the word of God in Ephesus and prevailed. It was going to be by the word of God. And that would translate into discipleship. Those who believe the gospel are readily seen and, you know, treated as disciples. That's what we saw at Acts 2, 41 to 42. Glory to God. Look at this also. Now, at Acts chapter 6 and 7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The number of disciples multiplied because the word of God spread. Hallelujah. Because the word of God was spreading. So, it was not by gimmicks. It was not church growth by different gimmicks and different tactics. No, it was church growth by the preaching of the gospel, by a faithful commitment to the mandate to make disciples of all nations. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 9:36. They were referring to men as disciples. Acts of Apostles 9:36. Glory to God. Look at this carefully. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Glory to God. Disciples. Verse 38. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him to not delay, to not delay in coming to them. Disciples. Hallelujah. Disciples. Acts 19, 8 to 9. Acts of Apostles 19, 8 to 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts 19, verse 8. In fact, let's take it to 10, from verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, that is Paul, and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Reasoning daily, he withdrew the disciples. Look at that. The disciples, because it was about teaching. And he was reasoning daily. Praise God. Verse 10. And this continued for 2 whole years. 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. For 2 years. In the school of Tyrannus. Always teaching the disciples. Praise God. Acts 27. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul read to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Disciples. Hallelujah. Disciples. Listen, you know, the word disciple here in the Greek is the word that means student. Praise God. The way we say student today, that's the word disciple in those days. Disciples. Student. It means a student. It means a learner. It means a pupil. That's why I said to you, if the church, you know, takes on this identity and believers begin to see themselves as disciples, a lot of things will change. In fact, a whole lot of debates will be put to rest. Church is not school. Church is not school. Church is family. It can't be school. See, when you see yourself as a disciple, you will not even have that argument. It will not come up at all. Praise God. The reason why men are going to be debating the idea that the local church is a school is because they do not understand the meaning of discipleship. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a pupil, a student, a scholar. Praise God. So that's why the most common activity in the book of Acts was teaching. The same thing you find in the ministry of Jesus, the most common and frequent activity was teaching. Praise God. Teaching, training, instructions. Because men saw themselves as disciples. I mean, you won't be struggling with the idea of being taught. We are not going to need to, you know, adjust the church meeting for you and begin to come up with SMS, you know, short message services so that you will not be offended if you already see yourself as a student. But the reason why people have to change the process and change the standard is because believers do not have that identity of being students of God's word. Hallelujah. The idea of Christianity today is now very ceremonial. It's just a fanciful tag. I'm a Christian. Praise God. I'm a Christian. What church do you attend? I attend TSK Church. You know, you are just farming the body of Christ, farming the Christian faith. In those days, to be a Christian was to be a disciple. And a disciple understood what it meant to be a disciple. I'm in for training, teaching, instruction. I'm in for learning, a lifetime of learning. Praise God. So that means in those days, when people come together and they kept teaching, you know, Bible says, Paul taught unto midnight. It was not anything strange. That is why we are there. Praise God. But today, because that identity is getting eroded and is getting lost, you know what we do? We say, yeah, let's put songs. Let's sing for 2 hours. Hey, and everybody is dancing, getting entertained. Because let's not deceive ourselves. Any singing unto God or praise and worship session that is not an offshoot of the study of God's word, an offshoot of discipline to God's word, is entertainment. Praise God. You cannot praise God well if you don't understand the word. Praises in the New Testament is based on understanding what Jesus has done. So a man that does not have time for Bible study, to even have an insight into what Christ has done, to grasp what Christ has done, and is so busy with eye praise, does not understand praise, is eye. Praise God. Yes, you can be eye. Just remove the praise. There's nothing about the praise of God in that stuff. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Let me show you quickly. Hallelujah. Because I'm not just talking from my head. These are scriptural facts. Glory to God. Mark chapter 7, and I'll read from verse 6. It was actually quoting Isaiah. Acts 7, 6, he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The reason why their worship and their devotion was corrupted was because of the absence of sound doctrine. Praise God. So you can't claim to be given to praise and, you know, singing to God and worship, and you don't have time for God's word. So that's what many people are doing today. So let's give them praise. Let's just praise. Oh, praise session. I praise. Worship. Oh yeah, everybody's kneeling down with some eulogies and all flying around, you know, particularly in your dialect, and everybody's feeling himself. And then when it's time for the preaching of the word of God, the pastor says, you know, I'm not going to take your time today. It will be very brief. You know, you don't want the saints to, you don't want them to be offended. Are these believers? Praise God. You don't want them to be offended with the idea of you teaching for a long time. You want them to be comfortable with the fact that the sermon will not be long ago. Amen. But the praise session can be long. The drama session can be very long. Choreography can happen every time. Glory to God. People can come together to watch movies in the church. People can come together to do whatever people are doing today. Suya night, family, whatever, family meeting, family Sunday, family, whatever. And people can stay there, enjoy their time together. Nobody is, you know, trying to leave the meeting on time. They are enjoying it because this is just another type of owambe in church. But when it comes to the preaching of the word of God, we begin to stylishly try to make the saints, try to make believers comfortable. And then we say, you know, we're not going to take your time. It's going to be brief. I'll just read a few scriptures and then I'll begin to close. Because believers are not seeing themselves as disciples. I put it to you again. The moment the church adopts the word disciples for believers, many things will change. Or let's use our own modern word for disciples, students. How does that sound? Students of Christ. Hello, students. Praise God. I come to church and I say, hello, students of the word. Are you ready for the word today? You know, it will change. Praise God. That's the same way in a school environment. Students do not complain about lectures. I mean, that's why you are there. And the moment you begin to complain, other students who are serious will be looking at you. What is this guy saying? Hallelujah. Because that identity already shows you why you are there. That identity already shows you what you must give yourself to much more in the school environment. Though there's time for many other things, there's time for gisting with people, but you know that the core, the primary reason why you are there is because of learning. Praise God. So every other thing is secondary. If the church adopts the identity of disciples, students of the Word of God, many things will change. Glory to God. I dare say to you that many people will not even come to church if they are not ready to learn. Those who don't like the identity or the tag of discipleship and being a student, they will stop coming to church. Praise God. Realize this. People were first called disciples before they were called Christians. Glory to God. Because that's the idea of leadership in the New Testament. Discipleship. Praise God. Discipleship. People were first called disciples before they were called Christians. Acts of Apostles 11. Look at this now. Acts of Apostles chapter 11. Very important. Acts 11, 26. Glory to God. Acts 11, 26. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." The disciples were, this was after many years. Imagine. The disciples, that was the first thing. That was their identity. That was their description of believers in the early church. The disciples were called Christians by the world. They observed their activity. They saw discipleship. They saw them receiving teaching. They were gathering. That was what was happening in Antioch for 2 years. For 1 year. Teaching. So they saw them assembling to teach. And they said, these guys are Christians. Glory to God. They must have seen the same with Jesus. And they must have heard their doctrine. They saw the things they were teaching. Or they heard the things they were teaching. And they said, these guys are Christians. But the first thing was discipleship. That was what they saw that made them refer to them as Christians. Glory to God. At Acts of Apostles 20:28, Paul instructed the elders to make sure they shepherd the flock of God. Leadership is for discipleship. The moment there's no discipleship, there's a failure of leadership. The moment there's no discipleship, the leadership of the church itself is failing. Glory to God. The moment we start trying to tweak and, you know, change the standard of discipline, and we make it less demanding from what we see in the Bible, in the ministry of Christ and his apostles, leadership is already failing in its assignment. Praise God. Listen, it is not the leader that is meant to be thinking of SMS, thinking of short sermons, thinking of short time in church. No. Hallelujah. That is meant to be coming from members. And then the church leaders are meant to ensure that standard does not drop or fall. Praise God. And I'm going to show you very soon. Acts 20:28. It says, "Take it to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." That's the duty of leadership. To shepherd, to train, to teach, to feed. Praise God. Now let me quickly show you what I said. 2 Timothy chapter 4. It is not the leaders that are meant to be saying, let's make sure people don't, you know, feel tired. Oh, let's not spend too much time. Oh, let's not teach for too long. No. That should not come from the leadership. Praise God. Imagine Jesus saying such a thing. God forbid. God forbid, meaning it's impossible. Imagine Paul saying that. Or Apostle Peter. It's impossible. Praise God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So like I said, the leadership shouldn't be the one saying, let's lower the standard. Let's accommodate every other person. You know, no matter how weak you are, let's just accommodate everybody. Let's not stress anybody. Let's not offend anybody. You know, the idea of trying to accommodate everybody, both the serious and unserious, those who want to learn and those who don't want to learn, those who want to grow and those who want to grow, whether they're believers or unbelievers, is so funny. Hallelujah. We are meant to go and preach the gospel to outsiders. Not bring men into the church and be trying to accommodate everybody. and be trying to appeal to everybody's lust. No. Do you think Jesus did not understand this idea of, you know, lowering standards? He knew about this, but I mean, it's counterproductive. Jesus wasn't going to use that kind of approach because it's counterproductive. You don't train everybody, you know, by the weakest link. Hallelujah. That's not how training is done. If you want to train people, you don't use the weakest link as a measure or a standard for every other person. So, this person cannot pray more than 30 minutes. We now use that as a standard for the church. Eventually, we are all going to become weaklings. This person cannot endure teaching beyond 20 minutes. We now use that as a standard. So, whenever we come for service, because we don't want to offend somebody who cannot go beyond 20 minutes, we now say, let's just teach 20 minutes. At the end of the day, we are turning everybody in the church to a weakling. Men who cannot go beyond 20 minutes. What we are meant to do is to make sure we set the standard high enough that a man who cannot go beyond 20 minutes begin to learn to go 40 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, even if it takes teaching from daytime into midnight or evening time to midnight like the Apostle Paul did. Praise God. A 3 days convention or camp meeting like Jesus did in the Gospels. With men who were not saved. 3 days. People were coming, listening to God's word, and they kept teaching for 3 days. Hallelujah. That is exactly how to train people. That's exactly how to train the church. Hallelujah. It's an erroneous approach to be setting standards for the church based on the weakest links. Glory to God. You know, in the ministry of Jesus, they all were meant to catch up with his own pace. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not everybody trying to be like Judas. It's not Jesus setting up standards based on a man that says, I must first go and bid my parents farewell. I must first go and do this first. I must, you know, people giving excuses. It was not everybody trying to be at the same level with a man that was slothful. No, everybody was trying to catch up with the pace of Christ, the master, the leader. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher. He who is perfectly trained shall be like him. They were all trying to catch up with his pace. That's discipleship. The man is the example, is the leader. It is not based on somebody who cannot pray well. It is based on the believer or the leader rather that has learned how to pray. The man can go days in prayer and he can draw the disciples after him in that training. And they are going to catch up. Praise God. That's training. They are going to catch up. Amen. But today, you know, you don't want to offend people. You don't want to offend those who are not strong enough. So we now lower the standard and bring it to their own level. And that's how come we have a lot of weaklings in the church today. Hallelujah. Believers who are not prayerful. Believers who cannot study God's word for hours. It's such a sad state. Glory to God. You know, they didn't do that for you in school. They didn't do that for you in school. Trying to lower the standard because of those who were not serious in class. Trying to lower the amount of, or you know, reduce the amount of time you spend in the lecture room because of those who were always feeling sleepy during lectures. They didn't do that for you. Everybody had to catch up with the standard set by the authority of the school. They won't do that for you at your workplace. If you are not going to catch up, I mean, that's your business. Glory to God. Because any institution that trains people or sets standards based on the weakest link will not thrive. Glory to God. It will not thrive. You are going to produce mediocres. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You thought I forgot? No. We're there. 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. And his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They, not the leader. It's not the leader that is meant to be trying to lower the standard. No, a time is going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine. The followers. Hallelujah. They will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Praise God. It says they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is to be endured, is to be received. You must stay with it. Hallelujah. You must stay with it. You must receive it continually. And I dare say, not only the things said, it is not only about the things said, it is also about the manner and the pattern of training. Endurance is required. Glory to God. In godly training and discipline, endurance is required. You are meant to endure discipline. Glory to God. So the leader is not the one who is meant to lower the standard of discipline and training. It is meant to come from the people, the followers. They are meant to be the ones saying, and then the leader continues to encourage them and he exhorts them and he continues to teach till a point where they catch up with the right standard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So leadership is for discipleship. And if the church owns this identity of us being disciples, a lot of things will change. How about seeing yourself as a student of Christ from today? That you are a student. You are a learner. You are a pupil. You are a scholar. You are a pupil. You are a scholar. You are a student of the word. You are a disciple. And you know, let go of the modern day way of just seeing yourself as a church person. Glory to God. Church is just so fanciful today. So fanciful. Just get in the church with your jeans and, you know, and your top and your Bible. You know, just go have fun. Amen. I mean, life is not, are you lay now? Praise God. Life is not that hard. Just go to church and go and unwind spiritually. Praise God. No. How about seeing yourself the next time you step into a church building, seeing yourself as a disciple? And then you are there to be taught, to learn. You are there for training that will make your life better spiritually. Training that will eventually make you begin to live more like Jesus and bear fruits of righteousness and be given to the work of ministry and be inclined to the things that matter to Christ. How about that? Would that be convenient? Would you still be excited to go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday midweek service if you are called a student of God's word? This calls for serious appraisal. Glory to God. Because this is the essence of the local church. Jesus didn't say go into the world and make fans. Go into the world and make disciples. Students of the word. Glory to God. We're going to continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, classmates, colleagues, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of prayers, full of spiritual song, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith and power. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.